podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 30. Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, what is going on, my brother?
Nothing too much, brother. You got the first brother. How dare you?
I did, brother.
I was going to go with something like gents or something like that and get away from
That's
the brother.
Too formal.
It's too formal.
Boo.
Yeah. Hiss, gents. Boo, hiss.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
What's up, lads?
Look at this guy.
We got lasses. Nate. Wait, there's no lasses here.
Lads.
There's lassie.
Yeah, we got, yeah.
Sam.
So you guys doing all right?
Doing good.
I have to be honest. I am doing excellent now that I'm here.
I would agree.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all right. So we got Wednesday, halfway through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're back at it. Our happy place.
You can see Friday from here. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, man. That's always my goal, just to make it Friday, and I'm good.
So. It's almost here.
And then as quick as Friday comes, and I'm in my second happy place, it's Monday morning again.
Yeah, it's Monday.
It's like, you're back again Monday.
No.
Arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's all right. You know, just makes you appreciate Fridays and the weekends more.
It's a cycle, right?
We are good. We're having beautiful weather.
We are. Oh, my gosh. So 55.
This is great weather.
It's 55 and rainy and cold and all that stuff last Wednesday. That's what I was telling Jenna.
That was an ugly day.
And now it's like 90. I was walking out to the car today. I'm like, it's like 90 degrees.
It was a little warmer today, but it's still nice.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Yesterday was nice, too. Mm-hmm. Elijah doesn't have soccer practice at all this week.
Beautiful, and the days are getting shorter, though.
So, but he hasn't been feeling good the last 2 days. He's been sick.
Sorry, Elijah.
And so it kind of worked out. He's not missing practice, but, you know. Whatever.
Poor kid.
Yeah. But no, we're all doing good.
Well, we wish him well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And we are glad to be with you creepies. So
more than you guys will ever know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. This is what we love. So.
Yep. Having a good time doing all this.
It is great. It's really a good time. You know? It's like we can't say it enough. I don't understand. It's really, it helps us guys.
Without sounding desperate. We really want to do this.
I'm going to hug my mic really now.
I know, yeah, exactly. Hug the rat over there.
That I don't know about.
It's a black, ugly rat.
So we are hoping you guys are doing great out there in podcast land. I just want to mention again, I'm going to mention every full episode up until the point of our Halloween special, October 27th. So Wednesday, October 27th. 7-ish, 7:30-ish, sometime in there. We'll pinpoint the time, but we'll do our Facebook Live video, or Sean, we like to call it Facebook Dead.
Dead, right, yes.
And we'll that's going to be fun. That's going to be a good time. I'm just glad that we get to do it this year since we missed it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We'll Friday, October 1st. So,
oh, my gosh, isn't that crazy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Coming into the good month.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're going to be decorating Friday.
Are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yep. So I
you gonna be posting your decorations?
Oh yeah,
I've been seeing those out there. I like.
They're
them.
Not in the realm of John Azell.
You told John and Lana, you're like, you guys better go. Come on. It's almost October. They're like, shoo, they're way ahead of all.
Oh
of us.
My gosh. Well, I met them in Georgia at Tybee Island at the pool, and we talked pretty much from the second day on. And they were like, yeah, when we get back, this is what, late June ish, July. They're like, yeah, we'll start decorating, and
they were not
that,
kidding.
That Monday.
Yeah. That's awesome, though.
Stuff goes out in the yard, and they've got some awesome stuff.
I was salivating a little bit when I was watching that video. I'm like, this is so cool. Yeah.
They got all the animatronic and indoor-outdoor stuff. So
I like the one I saw with the skeleton on a lawnmower running over another skeleton and bones
thrown. That is super cool. Good. Yeah.
Clever. Very clever. So, I'm jealous of all their decorations.
I like the ones where they have the skeletons climbing up, like,
house?
The wall. The house.
Yeah, yeah.
We have one in our neighborhood that's like that, but there's some that are, like, everywhere.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's really neat. It's creative.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll decorate. Won't be at that level, but we get, Elijah and I are going to go tomorrow, Thursday, to Spirit Halloween, because we haven't been in about 3 or 4 weeks. They were just getting their stuff in, so they didn't have a whole lot of their decorations. And the guy said, I mean, it's just like everything. The stuff's coming in late.
I was afraid of that. But I was thinking that
he goes, "We have a ton of animatronic the displays to you know." He's like, "We're waiting on that stuff. We're waiting on just costumes and whatever else."
That, surely, there's plenty of people that want to work though that want to get the Halloween stuff out there. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Right?
So he said, "I said, well, Elijah, we'll give him a few weeks. So and he still needs to get his costume. He knows what he's going to be. He's going to be a. It's called a psycho killer clown or psycho clown. Yeah, it's pretty neat. But so we'll see what they got, and I might pick up another. One or two decorations like I do every year and just add to the collection. So
heck yeah. Yeah, we'll be getting our witch out on the porch.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a witch that my grandma made back when I was little.
Oh, that's neat.
And our funny.
Which witch was that?
Which witch?
The
sandwich.
Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah, now you're talking my language.
Yes, yes, sandwiches.
No, she made this witch. I think she used like a bedside commode thing. Yeah, I mean, it was clean.
Yeah.
But
sure it was.
She had one, so she like made that and built this witch off of it and then put a latex mask on it and hat and wig. And so, I mean, it looks like a witch sitting there with a cauldron. And she finally gave it to me and my wife a few Halloweens ago because that was like my thing. And I was the big story, we got there, I was probably, I don't know, 4, maybe 5. We get there up in Michigan. I jump out of the car to go see grandma and grandpa and run up the 5 steps up to the porch and look up, and there's this witch.
Oh, wow.
And I just stop.
Stop in your tracks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just start screaming.
A little Nate Gins.
Oh, yeah. So then.
I can see that. Yeah,
but then I was like. Completely infatuated with it ever since. Right. And she always kept it down in the basement, so it gave the basement like a creepy factor to sneak down there, and then you see the witch over
yeah,
the corner.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like,
I
so see it now could be tradition and staple. Oh, yeah, it's
I wish there was a video.
So she knew it was always my thing, and so she finally gave it to me.
It's too bad there's not a video that is in existence of that, of Nate screaming.
Oh, yeah.
I would have done the
same. I remember
it. Witch,
I remember it as plain as day.
That's cool. That's really cool.
But then now it's fun because now it sits on our porch and we see people like stop the car and take pictures of it.
Yeah.
And people walk in the neighborhood, they'll stop and look and point at it. And
does she have a name?
No, like, just the witch.
Like Brunhilde. Cackling. Clicker heels together.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
That's
very cool. Yeah, it'll be coming out soon.
A little family tradition. I like that. I like hearing that stuff. Yeah.
So if she comes up missing, you'll know that she's probably at the Hedges or Lehman household. Is that what you're going to assume?
Yeah. Someone stole
it. I don't know what you're talking about, Nate. But I saw a picture that it's on your porch. No. I just copied the idea. Uh-huh. I like that.
That's my Brunhilde. Thank you.
So, yes, join us for Facebook Dead on October 27th. We are excited.
Have a good time.
Oh, yeah. And
man, I'm going to have to get dressed up for that, won't I?
I think we're Sean's already got his mask on.
So. Oh, I'm
just
nice.
Saying.
That's not
that
nice.
That's terrible.
I should probably wear more than athletic shorts and a t-shirt.
I always got
put
my windbreakers and my,
on,
and my hat.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's fair. Just kidding, Sean.
I have to be on good behavior, don't I? I mean, is that true?
Possible?
I don't think so. Yeah. This is as good as the behavior gets, right?
That's about it.
Uh-huh.
You're to your limit.
Uh-huh.
So, Sean, what are we going to talk about
for
episode 13?
What are we going to talk about? Well, what we're going to talk about is something that is super creepy, super spooky, and it is the movie from 1976, The Omen. Whew, I have been looking forward to this one. We talked about this way back in the early podcasts, right?
I've
had
it on my list of topics
for a long time. So this is 30, which I cannot believe. So this is a perfect time to start bonking the microphone and saying...
That's the omen.
Well,
that's
it is. If something spooky, weird, freaky happens, it could be the omen.
So 1976, you guys weren't... around.
No.
I was 5. And I did not watch it when I was 5, but I remember I was maybe 7 or 8 watching with my oldest brother. My memory, I can't remember 5 seconds ago, but I can remember 40 years ago. But I remember watching, it was one of those shows that they were showing clips of the scariest movies, you know, from the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And The Omen was one of the movies they chose and showed a couple of the scenes. I mean, just terrified me. It was one of those. So then when I got older, then I watched it. And it still terrified me, but I was in my, you know, maybe high school age. So, and I've seen it maybe twice since then. So I've seen it at least three times.
Yeah.
Great movie. One of my favorites.
More times, more times than The Exorcist, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But not as many as Halloween.
Oh, no, no. Oh, that's, no. But The Omen is the original. And I've not seen the new one, the remake.
I haven't either. I think they remade it in 06, if I remember seeing
was
that.
Was it 06?
So yeah, I think so.
So it would have been 30 years later?
I got married in 06.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, oh, did you, bro?
Okay. Like you said, this predated me by 3 years. My brother would have been born in 76. Okay, I was wondering if Chad was born. Yeah.
Okay. So he's a baby?
He was a baby when this came out. So yeah, my wife I don't think he got to watch it now.
She's born in 78. So
I didn't watch this until I was a teenager, to be fair. And
it's done well.
It is.
We'll talk about it. We'll get into it. We're not going to tell scene by scene, but we'll talk about these scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk and what it and how it goes a little bit further than just a scary movie.
We're going to talk about how it gets even it has its own curse and its own creeping spookiness off, you know, off camera.
Oh yeah. That's actually, to me, is even more creepy than movie itself, you know? So yeah. So,
so I'll give it a little background. I mean, it's not that big of a background, but it is from 76, supernatural horror film directed by Richard Donner, which I know you're going to do stats, so I won't take away too many stats.
Okay. But
it was written by David Seltzer.
My stat sheet.
Oh, dang it. That's your stat sheet. Yeah, I hear it.
You hear it? You see it? All
right. It's a real piece of paper.
It is a piece of paper. An international co-production of the United Kingdom and the United States. Isn't that amazing? It stars Gregory Peck, and then we'll go I know you'll go through all the people, so I'm not going to go through them. The film's plot, Gregory Peck, and then that's it. No, I'm kidding.
That's the only one. It's a one-man movie.
What a movie for him, right? The film's plot follows Damien Thorne, a young child replaced at birth by his father, unbeknownst to his wife, after their biological child dies shortly after birth. As a series of mysterious events and violent deaths occur around the family and Damien enters childhood, they come to learn he is, in fact, the prophesied Antichrist. Dun, dun, dun.
So right there, you know
you're in trouble.
Something. Yeah, you're in trouble. There's, This movie's no joke. It's very scary.
Well, I guess I'm excited to see it because I've never seen it.
This is kind of fun that Nate hasn't seen it.
And
so
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. I am too. I've seen so many movies.
Yeah, I've seen so many movies by it. I remember this one just the little boy. I remember that. I've seen pictures, but I've never sat down and watched it.
I didn't rewatch it.
And I had all the want to do it last podcast, but I've just been so busy. I haven't had time to sit down and
watch it. Well, your parents, they interfere. So. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Mr. and Mrs. Lauk. Don't tell them I said that.
Fix sinks, you know.
No, I get it. I get it. Life.
Oh, yeah. Got in the way this time.
Life doesn't stop, so no. So, no
it's on the list. I want to watch
this. Won't ruin it, trust me. This, I mean, seeing, you know, us talking about discussing it.
We can talk.
You see it, you'll be
like, the detail and everything, I'll still watch it. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not one of those.
It's a really good movie.
Spoil alert, and I'm like, I don't care. Talk.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to do
exactly. I'll
have to
watch it.
Yeah,
we'll have to do an update where we say, you know, update it by Nate, right? Update.
Update with Nate.
Update with Nate. And see, because I didn't rewatch it, but I went ahead and watched it, like the major scenes, because it is. But it's such a good movie. But I put on here, it's unsettling every time you watch it. It really is. They say that getting into the 60s and 70s was the decade of the devil, like the unholy decade. And then you went into the 80s with the slashers and the 90s with the teen screen flicks. And then you got into like zombies and vampire stuff got big. So there's all these cycles that go through.
When was the comedy parodies?
The comedy parodies are forever and ever and ever. Young Frankenstein, right?
Yeah, that was what, 74?
Yeah. So. Well, that's, yeah.
And then we were talking about.
Hey, we covered that.
Elijah and, Elijah and Olivia, they've been watching the Scream movies.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen because I always thought they looked hokey.
And they got the parody Scary Movies.
Yeah. The first two were fantastic. Yeah. After that, I was like, ugh. Yeah. Okay, they kind of ran out of material. Yeah. But Elijah goes, well, what's that? And so we're like, well, it's a movie about, they're just making fun of all the scary movies. They kind of take them and put them together. And so
having fun.
I said, you're just going to have to watch it. It's kind of hard to explain. Yeah. So but he likes the Scream movies.
Really? I like the parodies too. Uh-huh. I mean, they're fun.
The Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
They're funny. But yeah, this, like Sean said, unsettling is a good description.
I thought it was interesting. I was watching some different videos about people reviewing it and talking about whether they liked it, and everybody liked it. Like, I never found one that was like, oh, this is horrible, you should never watch it. Did you find some?
No, I was just confirming that everybody, it gets very good,
very high rating still. But it's more, the movie is more about the circumstances of the devil and the Antichrist in that story, more so than Damien, which I thought, that's kind of interesting. I had never looked at it that way, because you think, oh, this is a movie about this little devil child.
No, yeah.
And it's not really. It's more about what, because it pre-assumes that you already know what the devil's capable of. So it just plays with your mind like, oh, like, this is this sweet little innocent little child. And it's like, no, it's not.
No, because he's disruptive just by nature, by who he is. Yeah. And whether it's, you know, the animal kingdom, humans, just circumstances hit, and it just, it's unsettling.
I was thinking that the like the Rolling Stones, they wrote Sympathy for the Devil in 68, and it was like that preceded, this unholy decade, you know. It was like almost like it was.
Exorcist, 1973. It was the opposite. 3 years later, that decade was about.
It was opposite of John. It was like the Rolling Stones were like the opposite of John the Baptist, you know.
Right.
The anti-John the Baptist.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, Mick Jagger.
Coming before, setting stage up, yeah. Wait a minute, Mick. What's going on?
Exactly right.
But check you out. Yeah, maybe check behind his ear and see if there's a...
Somebody did joke about like, oh, this is about the time that Hollywood started to all become Satan worshippers. You're like, oh, yeah.
Probably.
Well, we'll just put that out there.
Yeah. No.
Not funny.
Yeah, exactly. Funny, not funny. I love this movie. And so, like I said, I put it on my list. You know, we all have our list of topics that we want to talk about at some point, and this one I've been dying to talk about. So yeah, like Sean said, it was released in the United States. This, I got a really good stat for you.
Ooh, these are good stats. I can't wait for stats.
So the U.S. It was released in June 25th of 1976, in the United Kingdom, June 26th, 1976, 666.
Yes, I have that down.
Yep.
I wanted to make sure we pointed that out.
Right.
That's so creepy.
I wonder if they planned that.
I've heard that they did.
Surely they did.
Because they wanted to be, you know, separate from the U.S., because they thought it would just add that extra spooky, creepy stuff or factor. And then I've heard, like, no, it just so happened to be that way. I'm like, well, regardless, it's...
Yeah.
they also said they were playing with things that they shouldn't have been playing with. And in doing those kind of things, they...
A little cutesy with it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The budget, so again, remember, 1976, $2.8 million. The box office combined... Now, they combined the United States and Canada... Which I thought that was kind of off, since they're talking about U.S. and U.K. But anyway, this is $609 million. I think they made their money back.
Wow!
I always like to say that when we do movies. I think they made a movie back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So pretty successful at the box office. Sean did say the main actor Gregory Peck, fantastic, he legend
kinda,
of an actor,
kind of came out of like semi-retirement to do this. They said,
yeah, he does play Robert Thorne, the dad. Mm-hmm. Lee Remick. It's his wife. She plays Catherine Thorne. Harvey Spencer plays the little boy Damien, the Antichrist. David Warner is he plays Keith Jennings. He's the photographer. He has a bad moment, doesn't he?
Oh my gosh! But one of the most memorable, right?
Oh yeah, it's one of the most famous as far as this type of genre. As far as that scene,
some and great then, stories behind that too.
And you know this next person, Billie Whitelaw, B I L L I E. She plays Mrs. Blaylock. Or I'm sorry, Baylock. She is the sinister nanny. Mm. She is probably to me Damien's creepy because you know we talk about like when kids are possessed or that they're extra creepy because when you have a kid involved and you know it's a just adds that extra spookiness and fear. But she I don't know. To me, she was really the most evil, creepy looking person.
She is.
Damien was, he was.
You have to give it to her. She's dedicated, though.
She was.
Dedicated to the dark side.
She was all in.
She really was all in.
I'm like, lady, you're scaring us. Like, from Billy Madison.
Right, exactly.
She's like the Sloppy Joe lady, you know.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Lady, you're scaring us.
That's funny.
So those are the main actors and actresses. All great. And that's why this movie, not just because it's scary and not because... has some truth in it, realness, about the devil and Antichrist. We know all about that in the Bible, but
They got what ifs, right?
Uh-huh, and they got great actors, though. Man, you can't beat Gregory Peck. Like you said, he did. He came out in semi-retirement and
he has
took one, on this role, and just his voice and his presence.
He had such great roles.
I don't know who else would play it.
Well, right. He had such great roles, but they said that this possibly could have been his best performance ever. He was so professional.
I mean,
so
we're talking
serious.
To Kill a Mockingbird, who has, I mean,
I know.
I love that movie.
I love that movie,
I mean,
too.
Yeah. Well, countless other movies. It just... Mm-hmm. But, you know, he plays a United States diplomat, you know, he looks and sounds in that role. And then now you throw in the storyline, it's like, oh, man, yeah, he's a great pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And when the priest is trying to tell him and warn him, and he's, like, trying to just about ready to tell him about his mother, and he's like, that's my wife you're talking about. It's like, whoa, let's not mess with Gregory Peck.
His roles in all the movies, like,
are very intense.
But, like, this one, you believe it. You believe, like, you're really watching, like, just a video of a real person, you know, not a movie mm-hmm. character.
Man. Yeah.
Did you have something, Nate? You're at?
No, I'm just looking up stuff.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I couldn't tell you, could you guys shut up? I'd like to say something.
He's doing his thing. Yeah.
I'm getting maybe future podcast stuff. I don't know. stuff that you guys, I don't know. I get that way sometimes when I get triggered by certain things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I get
I'm
you.
Like, oh, I remember that from when I was little. What is that?
You triggered Nate. Watch out.
Oh, he's triggered.
So he's all triggered over here.
Before I forget, I wanted to try to look something up.
I'm with
but
you.
But I'm listening.
I had your phone up, and I was like, oh, no one, you know.
No.
That's like having your hand up around here, right? Like,
yeah.
Let me talk now.
Sean and I talk a little bit.
Just a little bit.
These are our friends again.
Well, you're talking about Gregory Peck being intense. I put the whole movie's intense, but that he's like his performance definitely matches that intensity.
There is not a moment where it's not intense. It's I don't remember. Like I said, I haven't seen it in a while, but I've seen it at least three times. I would say probably I haven't seen it. Amy and I've been together for 15 years. I may have seen it since then, but not to. I'm trying to think. It might have been before I met her. So say 15 to 20 years. And it's one of those movies I could have seen it yesterday. I just remember that movie, the scenes, mm-hmm. the characters. And there's not a lull. There's no dull moments.
Yeah.
It's everything builds up to the next scene. And mm-hmm. it makes you, kind of catch your breath. You know, you have to kind of, because it's just what it's about. The topic, you know, the devil and it's
well, those
Satanism.
Those are the good movies where it just keeps piling on.
It does.
And by the end of it, your palms are sweaty, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen?
You know, when you're watching this child, and it's like, oh, my gosh.
It's an exhausting
experience.
Such a cute
kid, but he's going to kill you.
Yeah.
He's not going to play with you. Yeah, you know.
I think it's interesting.
He's not your friend.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
No sleepovers.
You do not mess with this guy.
Who do you want to come over? Oh, Damien? No.
I think as good as we're talking about it is, and it is, but there's on Looper, it's talking about how it almost didn't get made. Though The Omen is now regarded as one of the most successful supernatural horror films of all time, in its infancy, the film struggled to gain the attention of studios precisely because of its more overt horror elements. As The Omen's director Richard Donner explained to this movie's in focus, the thing is, The Omen had been around for a long time. It was called The Antichrist, and eventually every studio in town turned it down. Can you imagine those studios like, what the heck? So he said when he would read it, the reason he thought they turned it down was because it was a horror film and that they turned it down, or they, if they turned it into what I believed was a mystery suspense thriller, and it would get too cheesy about, you know, the devil and all that kind of the storyline. So they finally were like, look, we're going to make this is going to be a serious film. You know, oh, it's a horror film, yes, mm-hmm. but so it, and it fit perfectly into that decade, you know, like I said, with all of the devil and the unholiness of that decade. It was like, it's so perfect.
I don't know, the original title of Antichrist, to me, just thinking about that'd be a hard sell to get a lot of people in the seats. Go see
right.
a movie that's called Antichrist. Well, do I really want to go see this?
They went through several. Yeah. Like The Omen.
Whereas
was
The
like,
Omen, yeah, it's like, it was, okay, yeah, let's go see The Omen.
I think that title was like the third or fourth choice, but you're right. Yeah. It went through several, but The Omen's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so perfect for it.
Yeah, I agree. And just, the movie poster is perfect, and Sean, you did a great job choosing the pictures to post
Thank
on
you.
Our
I love doing that. I'm
Facebook
really,
group. And
I'm not artistic, but putting that stuff together is fun to go look and look
sure.
for that stuff.
You like doing collages, don't you?
I do. I'm very good at that. I should do arts and crafts from now on. That's my job.
He's the collage master.
So, oh my God.
All right. So, yeah. So the movie, like I said, again, I'm going to go scene by scene, but basically, what is it, Sean, that the Gregory Peck and Lee Merrick's little baby dies?
Yes. Yep.
Supposedly dies. Mm-hmm. And so they are childless, and they, and then the, what I can't remember, is the woman that gave birth to Damien, they adopt him, obviously.
Yes.
But, like, they got notified that, hey, and so, you know, he has to tell his wife that, you know,
yeah,
and our little baby died, and so they end up getting...
The movie seems so innocent when it starts. And it's like, oh, this is so perfect, and oh...
Some sadness.
It's sad.
But then, yeah.
It is. They say it's such a slow-moving movie, and then...
At the beginning.
And you're like, oh, my gosh. So that's what they're saying. Like, if it would have just stayed that way, it would have been like, what in the world
Snooze
is this movie?
Fest.
But once you hit that party for Damien...
And it's on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, then from there, every event, like, every scene
and
is...
And you're still kind of like...
ramps up.
You're lulled into this complacency of like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, there's... Oh, he's not going to really be the Antichrist or whatever. And then all of a sudden, bam, his nanny, she's like, it's all for you, Damien. And
yeah,
jumps
so
out
the,
and... Oh.
So the original nanny... Horror. As Sean...
Sorry, I play... Hey.
Well, I'm always pulling my...
Talk with your hands more, Sean. That's a good idea.
Oh, I'm over here.
It's all for you, guys.
I know. I'm talking with my hands tonight, too.
I know.
And we got jazz hands.
But you're not hitting the microphone and all the little springy...
No. I do that all the time. So the original nanny, I believe, jumps out the window.
Yes.
Commits suicide. Not a good start, and not a good ending for her.
I take it she quit.
She did.
Okay.
That's how she put it. Yeah, she turned in a resignation that way. Yeah,
and there's something behind
Damien.
That. Where is he? Is Damien? Yeah, he might have.
She went
to
work for a darker.
Yeah, and so then the new
darker
nanny,
employee.
What was her name again? Mrs. Baylock. Or
employer.
She replaces. So she's the new nanny. Well, she ends up. She is like. What would you say, Sean? The caretaker.
The governess.
Protector.
You call
Damien.
Yeah.
So she's obviously she's a Satanist, or she's a demon or something.
Oh, yeah. She's part of his circle. Mm-hmm.
So she's one to protect. Yeah. So yeah, she's part of his circle. She's protecting him. You know.
Wow.
She was sent there. Well, of course, they have no idea. And so, yeah, she's just so sinister looking.
She's
evil.
Like,
she's totally look, evil. Her eyes, and she's, like I said, she scares me. She scared me more than Damien did, even, at, you know, her
Yeah, I'm
her
definitely
character.
Watching this sometime soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You start to forget, like, as you're, and I know these are all full of spoiler alerts, which everybody knew that, but this movie is, like I said, there's almost kind of like a, you know, factor to it. It's like sweet and everything's fine.
Yeah,
and then it's just like this darkness starts coming in, and there's... You know, you're starting to realize, like, oh my gosh, this is how those end of days could come. You know, Armageddon starts this way.
And so unassuming.
It's so unassuming, and it's like this evil slowly encroaching on your peace.
And that's what makes it
so.
And
taking over
until
it gets to the end where it's just strangling you.
Yeah.
And with this wickedness, you know, this gleeful wickedness.
One of the scenes that, you know, Gregory Peck and Lee Merrick, you know, they take Damien to like a wildlife preserve, and they're sitting in the vehicle, like in the back of the vehicle or whatever, and all the animals, because he's there, literally go ape crap. I mean, chimpanzees.
I've seen clips of that.
Yeah. They're going nuts because of him, you know. And so then he gets terrified. You know, he's screaming and crying, you know, and the animals are going crazy and they're wanting to attack. Oh my gosh.
They said that, I mean, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but was legitimately did happen.
Yeah. They had trainers, but
fear in their eyes is true fear. It didn't go as expected. Yeah.
No. Wow.
Nobody got hurt, I don't think. Or did, I think one. No, that's
hold
not
off
true.
On
yeah.
that.
That's not true.
Hold off on that because that'll be part of our.
I was going to say,
the real life.
I meant the actors, but yeah.
No, right. No, they didn't. I don't think. But that scene was intense. It's loud and the animal's going crazy and, you know, him.
Yeah, because there's like a baboon or something that jumps on the car. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they grab him and protect, you know, and he's, I want to go, he's the one.
Yeah, right.
He's doing it. Daggone it. Run. Yeah. Dummies? But they don't know, of course. This is early in the movie.
Wouldn't that be a great ending to the movie if they took him, you know, and you're like, oh my God, that's awful. A little boy getting trounced. It's like, no, this is a good thing.
No, yeah, right. No, let him rip his arms off.
Yeah, no, we're good. And
beat him with the bloody ends. Yeah, no.
That's
okay they're knocking him down and kicking
him
from falling. No, do it.
We just avoided Armageddon. It's good. We're good here, people.
I mean, can you see that? Everybody with their iPhones.
Little run the credits. Run the credits. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
1976 to 2021 would have been a little different, but anyway, that
big
scene,
time different. Yeah,
I have all the scenes. Go ahead, I'll let you kind of go back and forth.
I was going to talk. Well, one thing that I didn't want to forget is how haunting the score is. Like it is, you know, we talk about some of these other movies and the music that goes behind it. It is,
and in creepy movies, the music does add a lot to.
And that's one of the few things that got like any kind of a nomination, you know, Oscar nomination was the score. Right, I mean that's and it was so well done.
They seemed to know how to do that kind of stuff back then.
Oh my gosh!
Like the score was definitely half the movie, in a lot of older movies, you know, 70s, 80s. I think that's been lost a lot in like newer movies.
I mean, look at Halloween. I mean, all the different 10 or 11 different score, you know, different.
Or it's like Friday the 13th. I mean, it's not necessarily thing. Music, but the.
Fits perfect, doesn't it? You can't imagine anything different.
You hear that, and you're like, uh-oh.
The tubular bells. Down. Right. Tubular bells with the Exorcist.
Yeah. Right.
They
put you in that mood or mode.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, they say you're right, though, Nate. It's kind of a lost art.
Yeah.
In the score, how many scores can get nominated, you know, for an award that says, I mean, that's so creepy, but it actually says in the score, Hail the Antichrist. Yeah. And they're like.
That pretty much says it. Right.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't know if I knew that, to be honest with you, Sean.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. I wrote that down because I was like, wow.
They went for it.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And so, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's interesting.
This is Richard Donner, you know, and when you think about Richard Donner, you don't really think about horror. You think like Superman. He did Superman next after that. So, and there's another like, you know, monumental score.
79?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Lethal Weapon after that and a lot of other movies.
Yeah, okay.
But right. I just don't think of him as being like a horror guy, but he outdid himself. It was almost like he cut his teeth on The Omen, you know.
And what a way to do it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't like, well, it was okay. No, that's
right.
A movie by, if that was the only thing he made, it would have been pretty
good. He probably was like, man, I can't best that, so. Let's just go into these action movies.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's in my top 10 scary. I mean, I'll say that. The original Omen, because I haven't seen the new one. But.
There's so many different. There's a lot of buildup in this movie. You know, there's so much like, you know, the priest is trying to tell Gregory Peck, you know, about his son.
Yeah,
and the photographer is slowly trying to, you know, piece it all together. And it is. Oh, and then they both meet their end, you know.
Well, tell them how the priest does.
Well, the priest is, there's a
and real quick, this is the scene when I was watching it was like an hour long special of all the different scenes of, like I said, they went back to like the 40s, 50s, 60s. This scene was one of them I saw. I was like, oh my gosh, that, you know, and then I ended up seeing the movie later.
There's a storm and the priest is running through and there's this buildup and, you know, you got to watch this scene.
Like, and he just warned his dad.
He just warned his dad. Yeah. And so it's almost, the devil's almost like, oh yeah, you're done here.
Yeah.
And the storm basically knocks, there's this, spear that comes down, knocks
it's,
off.
It's,
of
a, it's like a power line. A
power line that comes down off of the balcony, or it's not a balcony, but the. It's up high.
Steeple.
The steeple. That's what I'm trying to say. I can't think of the word steeple.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then it comes down and it just pierces right through him. And
yeah, impales him.
But you can see that, like his terror, you know, in the face of the priest. As before
right through him. And, you know, so because he's trying to help, you know, mourn, then, yeah, like you said, Satan's like, okay, well, I got to take care of you.
We're done here.
Yeah. It's so funny that in my mind, that scene is perfect. But as it's coming out of my mouth, it's like, you see what I'm saying, right? There was a steeple in there somewhere.
We speak, Sean. No, seriously, that was. Oh,
I come from France.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to go.
Yeah,
getting impaled by it. Yeah, and then.
But there's worse.
Oh yeah, no. It's like it does. It gets worse.
I know.
It's like okay, maybe that's the way to go. Then the photographer Keith Jennings,
best one decapitation scene.
He gets, so he's the one that's, yeah, he's taking these pictures and he starts putting it, like Sean said, putting it together, and he's seeing images like, wait a minute, something's up.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Putting the puzzle.
So he shows Gregory Peck and they kind of start teaming up to go, okay, we got to investigate this kid. This is not what we thought, or who we thought it was. He was. So they are in, they're in another country, I think, aren't they, Sean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think. And so after they've, you know, he's telling them, showing these pictures, and let's go before this. They go to this graveyard, and they find out where the original mom of Damien was buried, and they're and they get it. I mean, you talk about a spooky, creepy cemetery.
So cool,
dark, and it's. And I think it's kind of rainy. I don't know. And so they want to dig up, and these Rottweilers. I mean, a bunch of them come out, attack. Well, anyway, before that, they dig, and they get to the bottom of the grave, and it's a jackal skeleton. So his mom wasn't even human. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah.
The priest was trying to tell him,
right? Okay. So this kid's not human. He's he's from the devil. I mean, he's not And so his mom was the And then
in the posters you see that, like, that's why you see that, like, jack. It looks like shadow. A wolf.
Yeah, yeah. It's the jackal. Yeah, the little boy. Yeah, and then next the grave next door to her was their baby boy.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
which makes you it tears your heart.
So
out.
So he was actually murdered. By the mom or whoever, and then they barely escape that cemetery because these Rottweilers are just ferocious and vicious, and they're grabbing them by their
and they really were.
Oh yeah, they were trained to really so
that's
they
a whole
that,
other,
and,
yeah,
and then the next
story.
Day or a couple days later I can't remember exactly how the scene started, but basically some like a plate of glass comes off a truck
rolling backwards.
The truck is on like brakes or something's like in front of the tire. Well, it moves.
I think I've seen that scene. Yeah.
And then it starts rolling back, and then they're not paying attention. And then when Keith turns, just decapitates him.
Yeah,
slides off.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
You can see the
and
like,
they actually show real slow.
Face.
Yeah.
Well, it was shot from five different angles, and they said they did this on purpose because it's like, man, that is such a great shot. And some people say, oh, it's kind of was poorly done. And
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
Especially for 1976.
Well, there's the critics for everything, but they were like, oh, that's the hokiest part of it. But it's like,
no.
But they did matter. The reason that they did that from five angles was because they wanted you to think for people that cover their eyes and like, oh, that you want to miss what's going to happen, so you don't want to see it. And since they kind of drug it out so that when people would close their eyes,
it's still
cover, and it's still happening, and you'd still see it. So they did that on purpose.
We can't escape it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's some good foresight right there.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
When they made this movie, they went all in. I mean, that's why movie was great. From the actors to the plot, the actors, the directing was great. Just decapitates. I mean, Gregory Peck's character is like, oh man, this is not because everybody that has a hand in discovering what's really going on,
figuring it out
and doing good, helping Gregory Peck to figure out what's going on.
I just now put that together. I didn't realize that. Wow. That makes so much more sense now.
Let's get.
I made the connection.
Made the connection.
Can you cut his mic off?
Goodbye, everybody.
Nate, Sean, back.
No, I'll be back. Maybe not.
So you want to tell him about the. The stairway scene?
Yes. Well, that
or the stairway balcony.
The balcony, whatever. Right? Yep.
That I think this.
Well, I don't know. Did you like the way I told the other one? No. It reminds me a little bit of The Shining. It's kind of because you got him on the little trike, he's sitting there playing on his tricycle, and the mom's like next to the balcony there, and he knocks her off, and she's like, "Oh, Damien, oh."
Now, real quick,
go
before
ahead.
That part, and I watched it like the second time, knowing I knew what happened. I think I got creeped out the second time more because I knew what was happening. And so you watch him, and he's just this little cute little boy on his little big wheel, it's a tricycle. I think it is a tricycle.
Yep.
And as I crack my voice, and you're just like, oh please, get down off the ladder.
Did you just hit puberty?
I did.
Okay.
get off the ladder, please, mom. And so and then you just know he's kind of circling around, and you're like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah.
Old jerk. All right,
something bad's going to happen. Well, she ends up falling off. But
he knocks into her ladder.
He knocks her. Yeah, he knocks
or
into her.
Or whatever.
And she falls off the balcony, but she's still holding on. So, like, oh, Damien, help me. Oh, no. And she ends up falling. And then
he looks through the spindles.
Uh-huh. Just watching, like, goodbye, lady.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not like that was his mom or anything,
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's like, okay. Anyway, back to my tricycle.
But yeah, she's
man. There's not good.
I wrote down all those great scenes. There's, like I said, there's so many like little build up scenes and all those kind of things. The best one, I think, and one the decapitation was pretty good, and the priest dying is pretty good, but the one where Gregory Peck at the end, and I know we're flashing forward into.
We can get
if you want to.
Let's get to kind of where wraps up, because then I want to tell about the real curses.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
so
ahead.
In the church, Gregory Peck is about to kill Damien. And there's, oh, do you want me to jump that far ahead?
No, I'm just saying because they went to, they were told that there was these, what would you call them, these knives, these special ancient daggers. Mm-hmm. Daggers.
That, oh, like Eddie Murphy in The Golden Child?
Oh, that's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
Yeah. Yes, I love The Golden Child. Great movie.
I want the knife.
So, right. So the
think like that. Just exactly like that.
Because before the priest got killed, I mean, he told them, hey, go here, go to this cemetery. He's the one that told him about the cemetery and go find, you know, the original, the mm-hmm. gravesite of the mom. And then, mm-hmm. and you're going to find these daggers because that's what's going to, you're going to need to kill Damien because he's not human. You've got to kill the Antichrist. That's the
which is
way.
Hard because he's just a little kid.
Yeah, and he was told, check behind. He's going to have a mark of the beast, 666, mm-hmm. Somewhere on his body, you know. And so when he's sleeping, Gregory Peck takes some scissors, cuts like a lock of his hair, and engraved in his skin is 666.
Yep.
I mean, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah, just,
man.
It does. It's
and you're like, here we go. Yep. So now at least he knows, okay, it's definite. He's not who we thought he was, and he's not a little sweet little boy. And so he knows what he has to do with the dagger and what he has to do end this, right?
In the church with that dagger.
I just had to set the stage.
No,
sorry.
No.
That's
a per. Well, I said there was like these little setup, and that is a perfect setup one. But he's, what gets me is where you're like, oh yeah, that little son of a gun, he's got to die, you know? But what gets you is when Gregory Peck, and he knows he's got to kill this kid, but it's still a kid, you know, and you're still quote unquote the father, right? And he's like, no, daddy.
Yeah, no, daddy. Daddy,
and then
no.
There's that part where inside of you, like, oh, don't kill him, don't kill him.
Or
like,
maybe he can't turn good.
Maybe he's, maybe there's something good in him. And then they come through, the police officer comes through and shoots Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
It's like,
because he's speeding. He's rushing Damien to the church because it has to be on holy ground. So it has to be in a church. That's why he's going there with these special daggers. He has to be killed by the daggers. The police see him speeding. So they're chasing him. Well, he's not stopping. He's like, I got this mission. I got to do what I need to do. As he's ready to start, in the
little
boy.
They're like, pleading. You know, put it down or we'll shoot. You know,
yeah.
They warn him.
And I'm like, when I remember watching the first time, I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe, okay, if they shoot him, but maybe
he can still do it.
And they shoot him dead and he doesn't get to kill him.
Sequel.
Well, yeah. And there were.
So then they go, so he gets killed. And so, so now they go to the funeral and they're showing whoever it was at the time, the president. Is holding hands with Damien standing next to him, and as they're Gregory Peck and Lee Merrick's character, both of them are getting buried. The mom,
it's dual,
dual funeral, and just talking about again, I'm getting more goosebumps. And so you see it from the back, kind of like an angle from the back, and all of a sudden, they're doing the, and then Damien turns around, looks at the camera, and smiles, and you're like, oh,
evil wins,
you little.
Right.
Third. Yeah, like I'm. Oh, I got him. You know, like gosh darn it. You know, yeah. That's the. Ooh. I know the creepies are listening. They're like, listen to him.
They said that Richard Donner actually said to him, "Now, don't you dare laugh! Don't you dare laugh at him!"
Yep.
And they said that's how they got that creepy laugh out of him.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, those eyes just looking at us, that smile." You're like, "Oh, that's pure evil. That evil smile."
Todd, you put on there. You're like, "I really need this picture on the Facebook." Yes. And I was like, "That I got it." Yeah. It does.
Well, if any of the listeners haven't watched it like I am, I hope they're excited to watch it as much as I am.
This is
right
what
now.
You got to do next, right? Yeah. And there is the Omen 2. There's three.
It's as he grows up, yeah.
He goes through college, and then he becomes like a diplomat, the third one, as an adult, you know. And both of them are great. They're not like, okay. No, it's just he's older.
Yeah.
So he's still who he is, you know.
That second one, he's a young man, yeah. And it shows, he kills spoilers.
Yeah, he's in college. It's college age.
Oh,
and then the third one, he's actual adult. I mean,
yeah. They are well done.
Working for the United States government.
The first one's still the best one, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, first one. But they're not bad. They're pretty good.
Cool. Heck yeah.
So let's get into so that's the movie, basically. Which is
an interesting thing about that funeral is originally they were all supposed to die. Damien was going to die too, all three of them.
Mm.
And they were like, you can't,
no,
kill,
you can't.
You can't kill evil that easy.
No, they wanted
to do sequels like you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was that whole end scene was supposed to be completely different.
Because I think that was great. I mean, as you're watching, you're like, oh man, why won't you die? You know, it's kind of like,
why?
Awesome.
Die?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But them as he's ready to stab him, the police shoot him. You know, I think that's to be able to, you know, of course, they don't know what they're doing. They just think, they think this guy's ready to kill a sweet little kid, you know. They don't know what they just what they did, but so I think, again, great writing, directing, great
acting.
To do it, you know, to make it real. I mean, it looks real. And that's an intense. That is an intense moment because when Damien's character, he's that no daddy, no daddy, like fate. You see this child, you're like, and you can tell he for a second he's like, I can't do this. I can't.
There's almost an innocence in him. It's it's fake. Well, that's what I wrote down. That's trickery. This is a perfect time to say
that's
this.
What the devil does.
The devil's best trick is to convince the world that he doesn't exist.
Exactly.
That's where you get to that part where you're like, oh, maybe the devil's not so bad. Maybe he's not. You know,
they always say that. That's that's the biggest that he's
the movie plays mind games, which shows how that's the magic of it
on humankind, you know?
Or the witchcraft. Right.
The devil says, hey, if you don't believe me, perfect.
I can do what you want.
If you're on, if you're on to me, then okay, right? I got some problems. But hey, just keep, you know, whatever.
It's,
you know,
it's kind of like those old cartoons where the face turns into a big sucker.
Seriously,
you know what I mean. That's what happens.
Now I can tell Nate's over here going, "Yeah, I got to watch this."
He's, he's watching it after the tonight. Right?
So, so Sean, so there's that's the movie. That's you know, now though, even past that, it's what was going on in production and post production is going to even make you go, wow.
Nate can't wait. Look at it. He's like, I think it's kind of fun.
You
want to
start
like,
or me?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say is that, and you can start wherever you want, but the script had to be rewritten due to fears of this, like it being cursed. And they said that they actually had to go back because they're like, they realized that things were not, you know, they were dealing with stuff, you know, forces that were beyond their control. And they were talking about it from, you know, making a script about it and trying to make the, you know, that part of the movie. But then things got out of hand and out of control for them. You, like you talked about that. I mean, they were, I think they, as I understand, they did set that release date for June 6, 1976 as a 666 reference. So just doing that, you're asking for it. You know? This isn't the first movie that's had these kind of problems either. But when you deal with that kind of subject matter, you know, you're opening Pandora's box.
You know, I don't want to be silly about that stuff, but I take it serious, you know, and I'm like, I don't like to write 666. I don't like, to, I mean,
man,
you know, I just said it, but like, I don't.
There's a serious, a somber
because
tone
it's,
to it. Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm the one that said, I believe 50-50 and, you know, Ouija boards and this and that, but.
Devil's real.
The devil's real.
The evil's real,
And the mark of the beast is real. That's in the
real,
and so, again, creepies, you can believe whatever you want or not
the
believe. We're not here to,
it,
I'm just, the intent I'm just speaking for myself, Todd Hedges, I'm telling Nate and Sean, but. That I don't play with. I don't play with the
I know,
the
I worked,
sixes, man.
I worked with a guy over at FedEx when I worked over there, and his employee number, you had to give your employee number to get one of the tugs out of the lot, and his last three digits and his five-digit number was 666.
Oh, no.
So when he got up to the gate, he'd, you know, say the first two numbers, go 666-6.
He didn't want to outsmart you, devil.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, "What?" And he's like,
"I'm not superstitious."
Dash six.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to say it. Figure it out. I'm saying 666-6.
Yeah. It's a little word
so
play.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Hedge your bet, right?
Very much.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right,
yes.
Right, Todd Hedges.
Todd, right. I always hedge my bet. Yeah, though. But it's you were saying that they had to change it because it's
they did and the before
kind of doomed.
Well, they said that even 3 months before shooting started, Gregory Peck's son committed suicide, and so that was kind of the first domino to fall, as far as like feeling like there was a curse.
Yeah. The sorry, I just lost my track.
No, you're fine.
I'm looking on my phone. I had notes written. And
you should never be sorry.
I'm sorry.
So sorry.
So. Yeah, so this was the brainchild of executive and let's see. Oh, and born-again Christian named Robert Munger. Munger, I guess. I'm assuming Munger. He's the one that pitched the idea for The Omen to be the next blockbuster horror opportunity. And because it followed the success of The Exorcist. So he saw how that was and how that was received.
There had to be inspiration from that.
Do it
right?
Well enough, it'll be good. And
so he's like, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we do?" Yeah. Anyway, and so, but he said, and I'm just going to read this. Shortly after, Munger was quick to warn everyone involved that although he hadn't had a change of heart, he knew that a movie set involving the son of the devil was sure to be cursed, welcoming evil events. So kind of right off the bat, they're like,
"Spooky, isn't it?"
Gonna happen. Something
makes sense.
You know,
playing with it. Trying to tell a story about it.
Yeah, but like, so then here we, the first, Gregory Peck, son died. That's not good. Not a good start. I have another, here's Gregory Peck, some of these I already knew. This one I didn't when I was doing more research. So Gregory Peck, reportedly, he canceled a flight he was planned for reasons unknown. Says some reports claim that the crew hired the plane to use for the cast but ended up not needing the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Peck was thankful that he never got on. The plane had crashed the same day, killing all the passengers on board. More chilling, when it hit the ground, it landed on a vehicle with the members of the pilot's family inside. Now what? I mean,
wow!
I know
what are
that,
the chances, right?
That's like the spire hitting the priest.
Like seriously? Yeah. Like okay, something's too perfect.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, there was a plane that ran. Was that the one that ran into the flock of birds? Is that that caused it to?
This what I'm reading from, it did not say.
Okay. Well, there's one that was struck by lightning at one point. I think
that's the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
He was actually on that plane with somebody else.
Right. Okay. So I think it was the flock of birds. Yeah, they were supposed to be on the one, and the one you're talking about, I think it was a flock of birds that ended up taking it down, and six people ended up dying on that one. But you're right, they were supposed to be on that. And that's spooky.
They survived, but yeah, still got... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I know. Let's see. Do you have something else you were going to say, Sean? I couldn't tell if you were ready to say.
There was one in London. They said there was two bombings in London that nearly killed some of the actors. And Gregory Peck, there was one of his favorite restaurants that they went to, got bombed just before they would have showed up. So if they would have been, I think they said like 10, 15 minutes sooner, they would have died in this bomb blast. Yeah. So it's like, oh my gosh, that's terrible.
And there was a second one, I believe.
Yes.
Because it said that, I'm skipping ahead. Neufeld. So he felt victimized by the curse again when he and his wife checked out early from their hotel in London. It was a short time after that the hotel was leveled by yet another explosion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody involved in some way with this movie had something either happen to them or right before they did or something.
Right. Wow.
And then it doesn't stop there. It's like, okay, there's endless curses.
Yeah.
Go ahead if you have
those bombings.
Else,
I think we're on the
Could have made a movie.
The Irish terrorists that were supposed to be bombing in London.
And that was hot. Yeah, back then that was.
Yeah, that was like common, but unfortunately.
It said reports from the time insisted that the IRA had been responsible for several explosions around London at the time, even if others attributed the violence to a curse set forth by the devil himself.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
And it said the curse targeted anyone from the cast. Or, I'm sorry, from the set. So you were cleaning
nobody
up.
Nobody was
or
safe.
Or your director. No, seriously, yeah. I'm going to read this, Sean, this one thing, and then whatever you got.
Go for it, yeah.
This says the special effects designer responsible for designing the Omen's chilling decapitation scene, he fell victim to one of the most creepy and tragic events. After moving on from the film to begin his next project, he was in a head-on car crash and decapitated his wife.
Yes. He was going to make A Bridge Too Far.
Same guy that made that
A Bridge Too Far was what he was going to start working on.
Yeah.
And did you have the rest of that story?
Oh, yeah. He drew the comparison to the film in hindsight and even claimed there was a road sign to the side of the crash pointing travelers to a town called Omen with two M's dash 66.6 kilometers away.
That
like that's
what,
crazy
again what
that
are the
crazy
chances.
Wow.
I know. I'm like so anyway, yeah,
that's
yeah,
the there's definitely something at
that
work
to
there.
Me is the best
I
one
mean, you know
that, that's like the icing of the cake right there.
Can you imagine that tragic the accident and then you look over, oh great, 66.6.
You know, I don't think you're going to make up something like
ramen,
that. And
Omen.
Again, it's your wife got decapitated. Which
no,
is
you're not
you,
going to make.
You did that.
I mean, you'd be,
yeah,
you were a sick puppy if your wife gets killed and you're like, hey, let's
the stunt
let's
coordinator
make it
for that
scarier.
Decapitation
no, I mean,
scene. Like, what are the chances?
Yeah, it's the
like,
same.
It's
yeah,
so
the same guy that designed.
It's more
that.
Than ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Oh, I've got the ones where all the animals.
Yep.
So the baboons that went crazy, and they actually did, but they were scaring. Like they said that the fear of the actors were like truly fearful because they said they did some. There was some kind of a force that made them just go wild. They were trying. They wanted them to go into a frenzy, but they wanted them to go into a controlled frenzy.
Right.
But they said that it wasn't. And then there was a big cat. That's the one I was that killed one of one of the people on set anyway. I don't know if it was one of the handlers or what, but it killed one of the people.
Said the animal trainer hired to assist in the scene in that, you know, the frenzy.
The one that died.
He was killed the very next day. Said the trainer was killed by a tiger, grabbed him by the head and killed him instantly.
Oh, that's so spooky, so, right?
I mean, insane. Just
The Rottweilers, which they called the devil dogs.
Devil dogs, yeah.
I mean, in the movie, you can understand why they'd be devil dogs, but they said they could not
keep. That scene's great.
And they said one of the handlers had to have all this padding, and he said when he realized, like, they came at him, he realized, like, I don't have enough padding, and he did not. He got hurt because these Rottweilers were just, like, insane.
Said they ignored, like, commands to stop, and they just kept going.
It's all trained. And these are trained animals.
Yeah, and usually they do, you know, especially dogs. But
so what was causing him to do that? Again, the spirit of the movie. Yeah. The negative spirit of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, it is so creepy.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah.
Sam needs attention tonight.
Is Sam, yeah. Sam wanting lubbies?
Sammy love. Yes, he does.
And, you know, I didn't know all this, obviously, when I first saw them. I mean, when I've seen the movie until we started doing research. And I was like, you know what? The Omen. That's one of my favorite movies. We could, you know, when it comes to, we haven't done a movie in a while, let's do the original Omen.
Yeah.
So I did a little preliminary research. Mm-hmm. And that's when I looked into, it said, you know, was the movie cursed, or curses of the movie? I'm like, well, what's this? I had no idea. I just knew the movie itself. I mean, if these didn't happen, the movie itself is great to talk about. But, I mean, obviously you can see it goes way past the movie itself. And that's insane. Just all these, the same guy that does the decapitation scene, his wife gets decapitated. And then you look at 6.6, and then the plane issues and, you know, the animals, everything and anything and anybody was affected, or at least, you know, they weren't safe.
So crazy. Do you think watching the movie nowadays put you under that curse?
You know, I actually,
it's a good question.
Because I know you're serious about it, aren't you?
I'm a little bit serious about it, actually.
So I've seen and read where people have said that certain movies or maybe all movies have that potential that if you watch it, that you're kind of inviting, you know, like the Omen,
the Unholy. Right?
Yeah, and I don't have an answer, to be honest with you. Like, in all seriousness, I could go, oh yeah, I think so, or nah, I don't know, because it's kind of like, okay, if I think the Ouija board is 50-50, where you're inviting, because you're trying to, you know, well, maybe a movie that about the devil and the Antichrist.
Yeah,
it's funny.
I don't know.
It says this, this is on Wikipedia, the success of the film in 1976 may have been due to a sense of malaise in the West at that time. As a film critic, John Kenneth Muir wrote, what if the Bible is correct? What if all the signs of the apocalypse are happening all around us now? Would we believe them? Heck, would we even notice? He wrote that though it was unlikely that most people who viewed this film even accepted that viewpoint could even be, you know, be something that would even come about.
I mean, you know, the Bible is true, you know, either, like I said, you know, either believe it all or not at all. So you can't go, well, this is true. No, I mean, I'm, you know.
Take it or leave it.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. So.
But it got this got people thinking, like, what if, what if?
What if, what if?
And like, what if the book of the Revelation is right, you know? People that probably,
I mean, it's going to happen. I mean,
otherwise they wouldn't have thought.
It's right. I mean, it is right. You know what I'm saying?
It's happening
it's
right
real.
Now.
Now, but whether we're experiencing it, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's going to happen or, you know. You know, we've already been judged 2,000 years ago when Jesus got on the cross. He's the one, I mean, you know, you say, oh, stop judging. Well, he already did.
Yeah.
And he already took care of it. But I'm glad you brought that question up because this is a perfect movie. The Exorcist, you know, those types of movies, that those are the ones that you're like, I wonder if we are inviting or could be inviting something.
Yeah,
that's
channeling energies.
Mm-hmm. And just, with this movie, with all the stuff, and like the Poltergeist,
Poltergeist,
that's another one
that
we can maybe talk about sometime. Yeah. That, you know, the crew, same thing.
It has a curse,
tragedies,
too, right?
Terrible. Yeah. Great movie, again, you know, but you're like, okay, this is too, I don't know, it's too connected.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen here that, in 2006 was when the remake was released.
Okay.
And it starred Julia Stiles and Liv Schreiber. And it was released on 6/6/06.
Ooh.
Mm.
And they said that nothing out of the ordinary happened during production of the reboot. So okay. Now it brings up the question, is the curse of the Omen real or not real? But
I blame the director.
Sean's like, it's just the director.
It's just the director.
You know, well, but I mean, okay, and one didn't happen. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. I'd be like, ooh, but
that's why I
say maybe the next one did.
If something frightening happens to you today, think about it.
Did any of the original sequels, did they have anything happen with them?
Right.
Maybe it was the kid.
Yeah. You know, they have interviews with him. I need to watch him as an adult, what his thought is, because I listened to, oh my gosh, it was months ago, and I don't even know the name of the podcast. It's a good one. I mean, they haven't put out a new episode in a while, but they were talking about The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that one of the guys, he was just, I don't know if he was a, I don't know what he had to do with the, if he had something to do with the movie or if he was just a critic or something or just an investigator, but he thinks it's all real. He thought like the tragedies during and after the movie were tied with what the topic was. And he thought the kid as an adult, they said, I'm 8 years old or whatever, six. Or
they paid me good money for this.
Yeah, I wasn't really the Antichrist, you know, which he isn't. Yeah. You know, but
are you sure?
No, I was kidding.
Just kidding.
But him being tabbed as it, maybe that I don't know. It's just all I know.
Well, this is saying that
that's crazy.
It seemed that he completely vanished after the movie. Is the only movie that
he never
ever,
made. Right, that is true.
Made. And they did.
How do you follow that up? Right,
they did
a
documentary in 2001. They couldn't find him. Like, they hired an investigator to try to track him down. They couldn't find him. So they're like, we know he's out there somewhere, but can't find him. He's vanished.
He's out riding an adult-sized tricycle looking for other people to knock off the step stool or whatever.
He's still got that grin,
that
I bet.
Great. And you can hear that creaking of the wheels, remember?
Oh, yeah. It adds to the creepiness of the scene.
And he's just, it looks innocent. Mm. He's not like this menicing look. Yeah. He's just kind of.
Just right.
You know something's going to happen. Yeah. You're just like, oh, boy.
Again, it's the circumstances around the kid, not the kid, right?
It's you're not going to end. It's not going to end well. So,
if we haven't gotten the idea across, we like this movie. We give this thing 5 stars, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I give it 5, and I haven't even watched it
yet. Nate's like,
Nate's
old. Can't wait.
No, it is. It's great. And like I said, I think the listeners.
If you haven't seen it, this is a great time of the year to watch it. It'll totally spook you out.
I'm actually, I'm going to definitely watch the original, but I'm sort of interested in watching the remake and see how it compares to it.
You never know with remakes if they're going to be any good or not, but sometimes they are.
You know, I was disappointed in the Amityville. I didn't like that one.
Yeah,
And I like Ryan Reynolds. He's one of my favorite actors. Mm-hmm. I think he's great, whether it's action or he can be silly, you know.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I mean, it was kind of creepy, spooky, but it just doesn't hold up to the original, 1978. Some movies are. Some movies they can do it. And they can pull it off, and I think it starts with sticking to the original as much as you can, and then get good actors. Yeah. And I love Schreiber, and I like Julia Stiles.
Julia Stiles, yeah.
That's a good start. I would assume they're playing Gregory Peck's character and Lee Merrick's.
Yeah, mom and dad. Yeah.
Damien, I mean, as long as they, like I said, keep him as a little boy and make him as creepy as they can. That's kind of what you know.
Yeah.
But it's also that supporting cat, the nanny, the sinister. She was
in the recipe,
so scary.
Right?
Mm-hmm. She was just as much as the, you know. Well, and going back real quick, here we are. She gets killed, Nate. He goes to get Damien to go, and he needs to get him to the church.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out behind him, attacks him. And she's, you know.
Oh, that's right.
And so he ends up killing her. I think he stabs her with one of the daggers.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, she's like, you know, because like I said, she's the protector. You know, it's kind of like those dogs at the cemetery. So that's how she.
The guardian of evil, right?
Yeah, the guardian. That's guardian, protector, yeah. And so he gets her. He gets her because she attacked him. And then he's kind of bloodied up, and that's when he gets him in the car and he's just hightailing it to the church to do what he needs to do. And that's when the police.
From the beginning of that movie to the end, you don't think you would not think
the way it
begins
wears you out, man.
Is how it would end. Yeah. It takes you on an emotional roller coaster.
It does. And just
body, mind and spirit. Right.
Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of like The Exorcist. They say it's an annihilation on your soul. This is kind of like, it's similar along that same wavelength. you can definitely tell the inspiration.
It's not, yeah.
It's not the same, but it's a similar
in its own movie ride. With itself. It's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. it does, yeah, because it's the same. It's just, yeah, just, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Now I'm really interested in seeing the remake because I just reading some random stuff. Harvey Stevens is who played Damien originally.
Okay.
And this is saying after the, you know, they try to find him and they couldn't find him and all that stuff. They're saying that Stevens isn't missing, by the way. In fact, he returned to acting in 2006, right back where his career left off. He played a small role in the remake of The Omen.
Oh, there you go.
So he's actually in the remake.
I was believing you in everything.
Yeah.
I wonder what he, or who he played. I wonder what
character. I don't know. We all got to watch it. I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. Well, I got to see it. All right.
Yeah, he's in it, so.
Turn the microphones off. We're watching The Omen remake.
Well, see, now they can't blame him because nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
He's good. So,
see?
Yeah.
He grew out of it.
Don't worry about Harvey. You're all good.
Or
good.
Is he the source of all the evil? No. We'll never know.
Or we like to say Evil.
Evil.
Evil. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Good. That's a nice little tidbit.
Didn't go to 7 years of evil college to be called Mr. Evil.
I went to 666 days of evil school. Oh my gosh, that's a great though. What you said, you're the dude that was like, no, 666-6.
Yeah, well,
get it right. I don't want to be saying.
I'd be like, I need a new number. Nope,
that'd be my luck.
It's not my number.
That'd be like my locker code or something.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Oh, why? Seriously. Well, I think we did all we could on that. That was. I said I got goosebumps 2 or 3 times just talking about it. So.
That's a good one. I've been looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for doing that. And,
no problem.
I hope the creepies enjoyed it. And
go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
We
the Omen is 1976.
That's what I'm doing.
We recommend.
I was just a wee lad. And these two were just, well, not
I
around.
I wasn't even a thought at that time.
I wasn't even a wee.
Not a wee. Not even a I like that. Not even a wee.
Step away from that comment very slowly.
Not until 4 years
cautiously.
Later.
Yes.
So, Sean, middle-aged moment time. What do we got?
Well, middle-aged moment time. You know, like
Sam wants his attention.
Sam, I'm telling you, Sam and I are dating over here. I don't know if you've noticed, but he
really likes when we come over.
As soon as I got here, he's been my best buddy.
Yeah, he's ready for us to go when it's, you know.
Yeah, he's like, get out of here. I need to sleep. Yeah, yeah, it's bedtime. Yeah. So
yeah, he's been weird. He's been like real needy.
That's okay.
This morning, I got up to go to work this morning. Normally, when Rachel's at work, she's at work. Tonight too.
Back 20 times.
He gets up with me and I feed him.
Yeah,
because he's a food hound, and he did not get out of bed.
Oh,
he just stayed up there. So I text her and said he did not get up. So he's all yours.
He would get up for some tired. I hear green beans is one of his favorite.
Oh, you know, green beans, cucumbers, crazy? Anything.
I thought you were joking when you told me. I'm like, yeah, right. Sure, he loves greens. I'm like, really? No, he really does.
Oh yeah,
isn't that funny?
Hilarious.
Yeah, he'll skip the steaks and all that.
He
kind
hasn't
of stuff.
Missed any meals, I can tell. I mean, so if he does, I think he's
he
okay
doesn't
for
mean
it.
It's Sam. No.
he's stout. He's strong.
Oh, yeah.
Strong like bull.
He's a bulldog. He's a beast. Yeah. Not the beast, but he's
he's not the beast. No, we talked about the beast, right?
Ooh.
We're going to talk more about another beast, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, middle-aged moment. We got to brighten these moments up, don't we, with something like The Omen. I decided to choose Denzel Washington to brighten up this moment.
Love Denzel.
Yeah.
He's good.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So many good movies. We could sit here and talk about that for
the rest
of the
night. He has a lot of good life insights.
He does. And
very true.
So he gave a commencement speech called Fall Forward. So this is Denzel Washington's commencement speech at the University of Pennsylvania in Dillard University. So he said, you've invested a lot in your education, and people invested in you. And let me tell you, the world needs your talents, and does it ever. The world needs a lot, and we need it from you. We really do. We need it from you, young people. I mean, I'm not speaking for the rest of us up here, but I know I'm getting a little grayer. We need it from you, the young people, because remember this, you've got to get out there, and you got to give it everything you've got. Whether it's your time, your talent, your prayers, or your treasures. Because remember this, you will never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I'll say it again, you will never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. The Egyptians tried it, and all they got was robbed. So the question is, what are you going to do with what you have? And I'm not talking about how much you have. Some of you are business majors. Some of you are theologians, nurses, sociologists. Some of you have money. Some of you have patience. Some of you have kindness. Some of you have love. Some of you have the gift of long-suffering. Whatever it is, whatever your gift, what are you going to do with what you have? Fall big. That's right. Fall big. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life, and it can be very frightening. It's a new world out there, and it's a mean world out there, and you only live once. So, what do you do? So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances professionally. Don't be afraid to fall. There's an old IQ test with 9 dots, and you had to draw. And you had to draw 5 lines with a pencil within these 9 dots without lifting the pencil. And the only way to do it was to go outside of the box. So don't be afraid to go outside of the box. Don't be afraid to think outside of the box. Don't be afraid to fall big, to dream big. But remember, dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. So have dreams, but have goals. Life goals, yearly goals, monthly goals, daily goals. I try to give myself a goal every day. Sometimes just to not curse somebody out. Mm-hmm. Simple goals, but have goals and understand that to achieve these goals, you must apply discipline and consistency. In order to achieve your goals, you must apply discipline, which you have already done, and consistency every day, not just Tuesday, and miss a few days. You have to work at it. Every day you have a plan. Every day. You've heard the saying that we don't plan to fail. We fail to plan. Mm-hmm. Hard work works. Working really hard is what successful people do. And this is twerk world that you've grown up in. And this wasn't that long ago. Remember, just because you're doing a lot more doesn't mean you're getting a lot more done. Remember that. Just because you're doing a lot more doesn't mean you're getting a lot more done. Don't confuse movement with progress. My mom told me you can run in place all the time and never get anywhere. Continue to strive, continue to have goals, continue to progress. I found that nothing in life is worthwhile unless you take risks. Nothing. Nelson Mandela said, "There is no passion to be found playing small and settling for a life that's less than the one that you're capable of living." I'm sure in your experiences in school and applying to college and picking your major and deciding what you want to do with your life that people have told you to make sure that you have something to fall back on. Make sure that you have something to fall back on, honey. But I've never understood that concept. If I'm going to fall, I don't want to fall back on anything except my faith. I want to fall forward. I figure at least this way I will see what I'm going to hit. This is what I mean. Reggie Jackson, you guys are going to love this. Reggie Jackson struck out 2,600 times in his career, the most in the history of baseball. But you don't hear about the strikeouts. People remember the home runs. Fall forward. Thomas Edison conducted 1,000 failed experiments because of the 1,001 was the light bulb. Fall forward. Every failed experiment is one step closer to success. You got to take risks. And I'm sure you've probably heard that before, but I want to talk to you about why that's important. I got 3 reasons, and then you can pick up your iPhones. First, you will fail at some point in your life. Accept it. You will lose. You will embarrass yourself. You will suck at something. There's no doubt about it. I know that's probably not a traditional message for graduation ceremonies, but hey, I'm telling you, embrace it because it's inevitable. And I should know, in the acting business, you fail all the time. Early in my career, I auditioned for a part in the Broadway musical. A perfect role for me, I thought, except for the fact that I can't sing. I didn't get the job. But here's the thing. I didn't quit. I didn't fall back. I walked out there to prepare for the next audition and the next audition and the next one. I prayed and I prayed, but I continued to fail and I failed and I failed. But it didn't matter because you know what? You hang around a barbershop long enough, sooner or later, you'll get a haircut. You will catch a break. Last year, I did a play called Fences on Broadway, and I won a Tony Award. And I didn't have to sing for it, by the way. And here's the kicker. It was at the Court Theater, the same theater where I failed the first audition 30 years prior. The point is, every graduate here today has the training and talent to succeed. But do you have the guts to fail? Here's my second point about failure. If you don't fail, you're not even trying. My wife told me this great expression. To get something you've never had, you have to do something you've never did. Les Brown, a motivational speaker, made an anthology about this. Imagine you're on your deathbed, and standing around your bed are the ghosts representing your unfilled potential. The ghosts of the ideas you never acted on.
the ghost of the talents you didn't use. And they're standing around your bed, angry, disappointed, upset. We came to you because you could have brought us to life, they say. And now we go to the grave together. So I ask you today, how many ghosts are going to be around your bed when your time comes? Not only take risks, but to be open to life, to accept new views, and to be open to new opinions. To be willing to speak at a commencement at one of the country's biggest best universities, even though you're scared stiff. I'm scared stiff to read this. While it may be frightening, it will also be rewarding, because the chances you take, the people you meet, the people you love, the faith that you have, that's what's going to define your life. So members of the class of 2011, not too long ago, right? This is your mission. When you leave the friendly confines of West Philly, never be discouraged. Never hold back and give everything you've got. Fall forward. I know that was a lot to say, but there's so much of a cool message in there.
Yeah. There's a video of that.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that a while back, but yeah, it's a great message. Mm-hmm.
If you want to get the Denzel effect, you definitely should watch it, but it is such an inspiration, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what he says in there is, even though it's 2011, there's still a lot of things in there that are like, oh yeah, that's still today.
Not, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It could have been 2000 or 1980.
It was relevant then. Yeah. It is even more relevant to this day.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Denzel. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. No problem. Well, I was like, I'm scared to sit here and speak Denzel's words, you know, because I know I'm going to fail here and there, but I don't want to fail the message of what he's trying to say.
I don't like hokey stuff. I don't like, but when he talks,
his
inspirational quotes or whatever, are serious. I don't know. They're not hokey sounding.
No.
You can actually use them. And
he took from a lot of cool people. Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. Les
He's
Brown.
Not trying to just say them just to sound cool or sound philosophical. And
He really wanted to say, I have your ears for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And this is what I want you to know for the rest
He's
of your life.
He's a big superstar actor. Mm-hmm. Been around for 40 years. And I think it's genuine. It's
a piece
genuine,
of life advice.
He's always come across to me as just a genuine guy. Yeah. He just so happens to be an actor and does what he does. Like Ryan Reynolds said, he goes, I could go to a bar and hang out with anybody and drink a beer. And he goes, I'm nobody special. He goes, I just happen to be an actor.
Yeah.
That's my profession. Not any better, bigger than, he's like, okay, well, so what?
I think that's a
how
lot
Denzel
of celebrities,
looks at it.
Yeah.
Those type of guys, they're like, I just so happen to, make money and an actor, but I'm not any... Yeah, I can fail. I can,
Well, he's given a piece of life advice.
I love that.
And a life hack or life hacks
mm-hmm.
to really, propel people forward. You know,
yeah, I appreciate that.
And it's also something that I know I try to do this with my kids too. Like, save them some time. Look, there's a lot of time to waste. Life is short, but there's a lot of time that you're going to waste. And here, let me help you not waste so much of that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if, I sit there and think, man, I wish somebody would help me do that. They did in some ways, I could have, I want to keep people off of those roads that they don't need to be on. Like some of those,
cycles, you see somebody going down the road that you've already traveled.
Like, dude,
and you got a little insight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, hey,
a little bit of wisdom, right?
Turn around. Mm-hmm. Go this way. I've done that already.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That trail leads nowhere.
And short of them killing themselves, it's okay to let your kids fail. It's hard.
Oh, you have to.
Yep. Or to hurt themselves. I remember like Elijah or Olivia, baby. Don't fall.
You do. You want to.
And I still do that with a 10 and 13-year-old. I don't. Right. But then I'm like, okay, I've got to let them
figure
it out.
Yeah. Fall forward, right?
They've got to figure it out, because we're raising adults. We're not raising. Yeah. That's why I'm like, it's okay to tell your kid no. It's okay to let them fail. It's okay to tell them not. I mean,
ideally,
I'm not
fully
to get
functional, independent-minded.
But
like my boys, they'll hurt themselves. I'm like, well, you won't do that again, will you?
Yeah, right. Pain is a great educator.
Quick
right?
story before you get into the announcements. Just happened today. So I go and pick up my car to get the oil and
you're
tire
strong.
Rotation.
You picked it up?
I did.
Worn hand all day long. All day.
So the guy, shout out to Dave Canfield, Plainfield, Indiana, longtime mechanic. Anyway, so his little girl that they adopted, he's got older kids. Well, this cute little, I don't know what she is, 5 or 6, 7. His wife was in the hospital going through some stuff. And so he took her to work, and so I'm waiting for them to finish up the car. And so he hears this crying and I'm like, oh, and he goes, what's wrong, honey? And she's like, I hit my toe on the, and he goes, He goes, hit your other toe. It'll probably hurt worse and make that one feel better. And I just laughed because it's like, instead of, I mean, and trust me, I know he all over this. I mean, he just nodes over, but he's been stressed and, you know, he's been telling me about his wife in the hospital and doing this and going back and forth. And he was like, yeah, just hit the other toe. It'll hurt worse. So
that's some of the best parenting.
She looked at him
do.
Like, wait a minute. You know what? She stopped crying.
Yeah.
She did.
That's always a go-to for me, too. You know, someone like, smashed their finger. It's like, I mean, stomp on your foot. You'll forget about the finger.
Yeah. I just laughed. I thought that. But it's kind of like, you know.
Jen and I will say, it's time to amputate, right?
You know,
it's like, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. No, it's not.
I've said that to Lydia. Like, oh, I hurt my hand. I go, well, you got another one. So hey, raise that one.
So I got you too. Right?
But anyway, So, yeah, no, thanks for sharing. That was great.
No problem. It's always
my probably one of my favorite
ones. It was one of those where I'm like, I'm going to run out of air on this one. There's a lot. But I thought, man, there's just such a good message there that I'm going to marathon run through that. So
what else we got?
I got the announcements, of course. We always want to say thank you for listening, and we want to say thank you for connecting. Thank you for your ears. I always make this a little weird, but I am going to say thank you. Thank you guys for being here too. I always say that too, or try to say that, but I appreciate you guys being here.
Well, thanks for being here too.
No problem.
I'm glad you could see me.
Oh, yeah, I can see
you're welcome.
Casper over there.
I like seeing myself.
I always say, just want to be a blessing.
I did. This is fun. I'm going to take 1 second and tell a quick story at work. I have a student and she's learning my job. So she does a lot of my stuff and I'm kind of like shadowing her, but I have to observe her and all that kind of stuff. So it's a little creepy, a little weird. And so people are kind of like, who's that guy? So one of our patients, she's like, who's the guy in the background? So I introduce myself, but I try not to make it,
I'm Sean, hey.
Not the Sean show, you know? So, but she started calling me Casper. So she's like, that's your nickname now. So I'm Casper. And
Casper.
I'm like, I said, I feel like there should be like some leaves blown in the wind and like, you know, when I come in, like, here comes Casper.
Grab one of the bed sheets of another.
I know. Yeah. I could take it to the next level, right?
A new name tag. So it's Casper Lehman.
Exactly. Well, they did on the board. They put me down. They normally don't put me down anymore. And it's they put me down all the time. But no, they put me on the board as Casper and I drew a little like ghost around it.
They put you down the other ways too.
I didn't want to go into that.
That's funny though.
That's why I go to, that's why I needed therapy right now. That's good. But anyway.
That's why we do this.
This is exactly why we do this. I told her, I said, I've been called better. I've been called worse though. But
oh yeah, I hear that.
So anyway, we appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah,
the way that you can connect to us is through our email address, which is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's, with stories to share, with any kind of, you know, needs that you have, obviously to order merch, which is the next thing I want to talk about, since it is great for the upcoming creepy season, right?
What better time to get a nice,
perfect time.
Nice Mako hoodie, watching The Omen, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're on
it's
our merch.
Perfect, yeah. So we have that, and then even we'll get into the Christmas season, and still, what better gifts?
They
right?
make
so.
Great Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
So we'll birthdays.
Preemptively talk about that.
Valentine's.
Right? Oh, dang it! I'm going to beat up on the mic. Hey, I got so excited, I punched my mic.
He hates that microphone.
But I have another. This is the worst. I think this is the most physically violent I've gotten.
Let's
over here.
Let's get physical.
All right.
Sorry.
A kick and stretch. Okay.
I'm 50.
We're going back to that, right? So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and now TikTok. We're TikTokers.
TikTok, you don't stop.
At middle age, holla. Creeped out.
I just went back to 1991.
Oh, my God.
Never mind. I'm going to sing this.
Oh, man. Yeah. But Instagram and Facebook, it is middle age creeped out. TikTok, it's Mako Podcast, right? Mm-hmm. What you look for.
And we thank you so much we're still seeing a lot of contributions to our social media. A lot
oh
of people posting.
That's awesome.
And yeah, mm-hmm.
It's really
a lot
awesome.
Of interaction. It's fun.
We can feel the love. And we won't sing that song either.
And I feel,
can you feel the
thank
love?
You. I mean, so whoever listens and is on our social media, I know a lot of people that listen that don't and vice versa, but I love doing the polls and seeing.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, it is.
Seeing what, you know.
Seeing you do chili tonight, right?
Yeah. Do you put pasta in or not? You know, or
no.
Some type of. Yes.
I traditionally don't, but I go both ways. And I don't take that the wrong way, but I go both ways on that. I just like to eat,
fine.
So.
Yeah. I know. Like,
You can listen to us on all kind of ways and all kind mm-hmm. of formats and platforms, but we won't even go into them. There's so many. So find us and keep us there, right?
Right.
We have hit this, you know, hammered this home. Every podcast since the first one, we will do it. And the last one before we croak, right? We'll croak behind these microphones, right? That's kind of morbid.
That'd be terrible.
That's terrible.
That's sort of creepy.
It is a little creepy. Well, that's why it's a great way to...
is that
bring,
the omen?
Let's bring that up. I know. If something happens to me, I'm coming back as Casper. So we will always... This is
we're having fun. We're connecting. You know, we appreciate having, you know, having a laugh and talking about creepy stuff, but we always want to link it back to mental health and the importance of helping each other. We all need help out there, body, mind, and spirit, but we always, always, always want to give out the substance abuse and mental health hotline first, the 1-800-662-4357, last four, and that's help, and the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255, and the last four on that is talk.
Excellent, as always.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I
best thing I do.
I had my third counseling session with my new counselor yesterday.
Awesome.
Went well.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Always want to throw that in there.
They haven't fired you yet?
No, he goes, I guess I'll see you again.
You need to leave.
He's like,
now.
I can't help
he's
you.
He's doing the sign of the cross, right? He's like, I'm not even Catholic, and I'm doing the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
Where's my holy water?
Christianity. Yeah, he's like, what? I'm like, I'm not that bad.
That's funny.
No, he takes a bucket.
Splash.
You know, I wonder why the receptionist always says, do you want water? And I'm like, no, I'm okay. She's like, are you sure?
This priest will bless it for us.
She's like, ready to splash. I'm like, no, I'm good. She's like, oh, okay. And she, you know. No, it's going really well. I was told yesterday, which it just made me feel good. One of our coworkers, she's part time at the church. She came in. I go, "How are you doing?" She goes, "I'm great. How are you?" I said, "I am great." I said, "You're just great." She goes, "Yeah." I go, "I am really great." And she goes, "Why is that?" I said, "I just got back from my counseling." She goes, "Ah, makes sense." And she goes, "You know what?" In all seriousness, she goes, "Thank you for being so open.
Yeah,
to not be afraid to say you go to counseling." Or that, and I go, at this point in my life, I have, I'm going
we
to
all
be.
Have,
it's no point. I mean.
I've done it. And we've all needed it, or will need it, have needed it, are
it helps
needing it now.
People. It really does. So if you're like me, just 5 years, four or five years ago, I was like, you're weak-minded. You're weak to go. You're going to be talking to somebody that, is it really going to help? You're going to be wasting an hour, wasting money. You know, I was the anti-counseling.
Yeah.
And I'm. On the other side, I'm like, oh, no, it helps to talk to somebody that just has,
they're
not family, they're
figure,
not friend, they're a trained professional, they listen to you, and you can just, you know, they just
give you the tools,
he goes, and I said something like, I don't know what I was talking about like, specifically, and I said, oh, sorry to get off the tangent, or on the tangent, he goes, it's your time.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, I'm not gonna, so
see,
this is nice, it helps.
And the biggest problem with it is that, You need to get it out and open.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. So much.
You
got to
be open about it and talk about it. That's how you fix the issue. Is, you know, I mean, you bottle stuff up so much, you don't know who to talk to. You have to be open about it.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and and it doesn't get fixed right away.
No.
But boy, does it help just to tell somebody.
Yeah.
This is bugging me, or this is, I'm really having a hard time dealing with this, or how do I approach this, or how, or you know, whatever it
but
is.
But then being open with others, like you were at work and saying, hey, yeah, I had a great session counseling,
it
and that
boosted
kind of,
me up,
and that helps you too, because now you're taking that internal burden that you're having and trying to sort through, and you're sort of opening it up into the public
a
little bit.
No,
but then you're also helping the other person too, because they're like, you know what? He's doing counseling. Why can't I do counseling? Mm-hmm. You know, I got some issues I need to work through.
Yeah.
You know, it helps everybody. Just be open and
she's
talk.
Just in her early
30s, that's
so
the problem.
Seeing an old
everybody,
guy like me.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's like everybody just bottles everything in. You don't let, you know, you don't get all feely with people and tell them how you are feeling, and you're not open to have anybody help you.
Exactly. You said it perfect.
I think about like people, somebody told me this one time, your feelings are like shoving it in a trash bag and you just keep shoving your feelings down and down, and the trash bag can only hold so much. So your body and your soul and your mind can only hold so much darkness and those heavy emotions. And eventually that trash bag's going to bust open and it's all going to come out. And that gets ugly. So before that happens, it's not a good thing. And I don't know I don't remember if I talked about it on one of the podcasts or not, but I know we've had this discussion. But we had a patient that, you know, he was in his 80s and he was kind of done, and they kept saying, you know, he's not going to do any therapy with you. You got to just let this one go and kind of thing. And we're like, well, we'll go try. And he was like, no, he went, the blinds were shut. Everything was really dark. Oh. And he said, he's telling us no, but I sat down on his bed and I was listening, and, you know, I just asked him a couple questions, just some lead in questions, get to know him a little bit better. And he talked to me for was like 45 minutes. I mean, it was a long time. And they kept coming back in like, is he okay? I'm like, yeah, just, you know, I'm listening kind of thing. And after about 45 minutes of listening, he was like, he got a call from his wife. And he just listened to her, you know, he talked to her. And he's like, yeah, therapy's here. I'm going to work with him a little bit. And then blah, blah. And he hung up with her. And he said, now, what'd you want? You want me to go for a walk? He's like, well, open up those blinds and let's, you know, aww, give me that walker. And I'll. So he worked with us. And they said, how did you get him to do that? And I said, I just turned on the faucet. And it was like really cruddy water coming out. This dirty, dank, nasty looking sewage, basically. Yeah. And it ran and it ran and it ran. And then eventually it started clearing up. And then now it's pretty clean. So he just needed somebody to talk to. And it's not like I magically went in there and thought, oh, this is what I'm going to do. But that's what happened. Yeah. And it's just, you know, not that everybody has time to do that.
You gave him a chance to have somebody listen to him.
Did I have the time for that? Probably not, is it from a productivity standpoint. But it's like, that's what that human, he was a human being, and he needed another human being in that moment.
We all do. I don't care who you are, what age, what.
And I'm not tooting my own horn there, but I'm just saying that, like, sometimes that's what we just need on a basic level is each other, right?
I agree. I get it.
Yeah.
You know,
and it doesn't have to be, I mean, just counseling does wonders for me. And I just, you know, like I said, I still have crap that goes on, but
we were having this discussion about compassion and it's, we must love each other or die. One of those things. I know that sounds very, you know, intense, but like, we must hold on to each other, help each other, or we're all going to die. You know what I mean? That's, again, not to be bleak, but that's what we're here for, is to help each other out. Love each other. Be compassionate. Help each other out.
Right. And that's what I said on the Facebook group. Or
we're all doomed.
If you have something that you don't want to tell specifically what it is, if you have some issue, you're like, you know, I really need some prayers. Just say that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to tell us. Or if you're not a prayer type person, right? You just want, hey, some good thoughts, good vibes, some encouragement. Well, say that too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so whatever works, you know, just.
I like these.
Whatever you need.
I know that.
We're here. We're here.
I love these little family. It's like a therapy session, and I need it. You guys need it. Mm-hmm. And the listeners out there, the creepies, they need it. And that's, so I hope that helps somebody out there.
Yeah. Just one, but that made me feel good.
Like George said the other episode on 28, like, just one person. We helped one person with all what we just said, then we have done, it's been worth our time.
And we hear it all the time from listeners that they're surprised that three men, middle-aged men, can be so open about talking about stuff.
You consider me a man? I don't know.
Man-child.
Man-child.
Well, that's better. Nate and I and Sean.
Right, yeah.
Two men like Nate and I. Yeah.
Casper, the friendly ghost over here.
I'm big on Sean again. No, it's true. I told, I don't know if she probably wouldn't care, but I won't say her name. When she said that, I was like, well, and I said, well, thank you for, I said, that's not why I'm saying that. I was just like, hey, I just got
it's
back
a victory. It's a small victory,
you know. Like,
but it's,
I'm in a great mood, you know, because I had a chance to let it out.
It's not really a small victory, but
she goes, "No,
a
seriously." And so she was ready to walk out to throw up some bags of trash out. She's like, "No, seriously, though, thank you." And I told her, I said, "We have had two or three, four people that say thank you for being open, and especially three guys, because men are supposed to have it together and tough, and it's going to show weakness." Oh, I used to think that.
I can cut trees down, chop wood, and weld, and blowtorch. Yep. And I can do all that manly stuff, but I can also listen and talk, too.
Yeah.
So
I can do all my Cobra Kai moves, but hey.
See, and still, Nate is saying he's got skills.
He got skills. Skills. All right. Well, that was good, though. That was really a fun good episode, fun topic to talk about, creepy, good middle-aged moment.
Ended on a positive note, right?
Yeah. Was that all the announcements?
I think
I know we got on a...
Yeah, I think so.
Middle-aged health.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, we just flowed. I was just like, oh, wow.
I know.
Well, Nate, what do you think, man?
Oh, man. Is it over already?
It is.
I got the omen in there.
That's a wrap.
I love it.
Oh, man. Oh,
I'm loving
it. I was wondering what he was going to come up. Oh, man. And as he says, man. I'm like, yes, it's over, Nate. The omen. Boy, I tell you, this guy. Good stuff. Well, thank you, creepies. As Sean said, we all appreciate your ears and giving us your time. And we love doing this. We have fun. And it's our little time to have guy time, bonding, and talk about creepy stuff. But we love doing this for you guys. So thank you for, you know, just everything you do for us. And we love your support. And this was really, I don't know, I'm trying to sign off here, but this last 10 minutes, I don't want to get all serious, but
You don't want to let us go, do you?
I don't.
Can't let us go.
Now these two guys will stay.
I feel like the Golden Girls theme should be playing right now. You know.
So. No, it really helped me.
Thank you for being a friend.
The Golden Guys.
I feel a group hug coming on. That's what I feel.
Oh, anyway, it's coming. Well, I'll sign off before I get all.
I know. And this is that's how I get you to sign off.
I know. This isn't usually me being mushy, but I am. I don't know. I had counseling. And I know. I'm just. Today was a wacky day, and so I'm starting to.
You're getting physically violent over there.
Sean's punching his mic. I'm punching the book. So anyway, thank you guys. Episode 30 is in the book. So until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.